JC2S, Part 1.
Number 5A.
So what we see then, she shows the outcome of mythology is just, as she shows on page 466, that heathen mythology and Jewish theology have perpetuated the fallacy that intelligence, soul, and life can be in matter, and that idolatry and ritualism are the outcome of all man-made beliefs. And then, in showing divine minds' accurate views of creation versus mortal minds' mythological theories of creation, she just says on page 255 that the mythical human theories of creation, anciently classified as a higher criticism, sprang from cultured scholars in Rome and Greece, but they afforded no foundation for accurate views of creation by the divine mind. So we see that in this chapter, is Christian Science versus Mythology, that she is showing then that that whole basis of science, theology, and medicine, really that basis which goes out from the human mind, matter, sense testimony, which brings the personal theories, result in death, mortal man, and imperfection, that this is all mythology. It all goes on within the realm of imagination. She, if we look at the meaning of myth, it comes from the Greek term mythos, which means tale or speech. And it has that root meaning of I think, or thought, or to desire ardently. And it means then a person or thing existing only in the imagination, or whose actuality is not verifiable. So this is how Mrs. Eddy uses it here in the textbook, that a myth is something that is based on the imagination. Therefore, these sciences, when they go out from a sense testimony, are just going out of that the testimony of the senses is testimony to the beliefs of mortal mind, the subjective beliefs of mortal mind, which are just myths, which are just based on the imagination. So you can see, the if you look back from the sixth to the fifth to the fourth chapter, you can see then she says all that the sciences, theology, medicine, that they're just based on mythology, that all that belief of matter and mentalism are just beliefs, myths, imagination. And that's what the chapter 5 showed in Animal Magnetism Unmasked, that these things go on only in the imagination. And that in Christian Science versus Spiritualism, the fourth chapter shows, and that is all based on the belief that principle God can be turned into its opposite. So we see then that this false basis, and that mythology, then we know, was the basis of the first religion. It was a prehistoric mythology, was the religion of the first men. Of that first religion, they said that that first religion implied a belief in supernatural forces. That is to say, in beings who are both different from and superior to living men, in that they exercise either directly or through the intermediary of natural phenomena a benign or harmful influence. And that it is the practice or function of ritual practices or ceremonies to encourage the former influence, the benign influence, and to prevent or neutralize the latter or harmful influence done through various practices of idolatry and rituals. So we see then that that the Christ idea is coming to this false basis of religion, which is mythology, really the false basis of science and in medicine also, and translating it out of its false basis back into its original basis. So if we take mythology then as that basis really for the first religion, we will see that that Christ in its law of translation and retranslation brings the real basis for a true theology, which is mind, spirit, soul principle, that a true theology is the living principle, is a practice of the living mind, the living spirit, the living soul, the living principle. That comes to misunderstanding and translates out that first degree of mythology, the first religion, based on, you could say, imagination, illusions, as seen in the second record of creation, out of itself through a transitional stage, which I'm still feeling out how she shows that in the textbook, into a third degree of divine theology based on the science of ideas as given in the first record of creation. So you see that this whole chapter totally shows through the laws of the Christ how the false basis of the first religion in mythology, based on illusions, based on imagination, based on the myths of the second record of creation, of mortal mind, matter, sense testimony, personal theories, death, mortal consciousness, mortal man, imperfection, all those myths, that they the Christ takes us out of a mythical religion into a divine theology based then on the science of ideas as presented in the first record of creation. That is the true basis of a divine theology. All right, so I think as we go on with the class, we begin to see more and more is what I read the first evening, where Mrs. Eddy said, men and women, are we ready to voice a higher order of science? What she's presenting now is something really in the realm of God and something which is of a very pure standpoint. So let's now look at, to cap off our foundation building for today for this chapter, let's now look at the law that forms the structure behind this chapter. That law then, which is behind the science that governs changes, that law of the first and second translation, the law of translation and reformation. Now, this law, we will see, comes then, is based pretty much on what we have in the epitome book by Max Kapler in Science, Theology, and Medicine there, that section where he then gives us the main theme of the chapter. And we can see then that this chapter is divided into those two big points. The very first one, which is that standpoint of being is Emmanuel, or God with us. And remember that she always says, and I've learned these truths in divine science, so that divine science tone is always behind then, and you see the right down at the very bottom in the book there, you have your main theme, that's it, down at the very, there it is. Being is Emmanuel, God with us. That's the first point. And then the next point, this fact translates all that is not godlike back into the godlike. You have that in the main theme, those two aspects of the first and second translation. The first translation we'll look at now, being is Emmanuel, or God with us. Then we'll look at the next retranslation. This fact translates all that is not godlike back into the godlike. So, again, as I said, remember that in this chapter she said, I've learned these truths in divine science, that this overall tonality of divine science is always the divine origin behind the textbook matrix. And we know then that Max Kapler, in his book, The Science of the Oneness of Being, in the Christian Science textbook, shows us the divine science standpoint, or the divine origin behind the textbook matrix in each one of the chapters. And also he does, of course, in this chapter. So therefore, our assignment was then to look at this standpoint as he showed it, the divine science standpoint, standing behind the textbook matrix. So we see that then where he gives that first part of the law, standing behind the matrix of the textbook, on page 121, where he shows then that the law of oneness, which is of course has that the divine science, which is behind the textbook matrix, that law of oneness is that God manifests itself as our God, infinitely individualized, but still remaining the whole of God. Showing that the law of oneness given in the sixth chapter reflects these two crucial points. One, that God, the One, is with us. Huh? That's the Emmanuel. And two, that this One is forever infinitely individualized, forever one with man. So there are two points that in the Emmanuel, that God comes to us, God comes to man, translates itself to man, infinitely individualized, and is forever one with man. That's that divine science tone, forever one as a self-containing, all-embracing principle, which is love. So you hear then in this chapter the fact that, yes, Emmanuel, God comes to us, but also that God is forever one with us. So therefore, we can see that if we take that basis of that law of a divine science behind the matrix, we then have the structure such of the law, just the setting up of this law of oneness, where we see then that Mary Baker Eddy's revelation in this chapter is being as Emmanuel, God with us. That is then that first translation. We'll see that it's in the first scriptural text. It's a scientific translation of Immortal Mind, the first translation of Absolute Christian Science, where then we see then that God, the One, comes to us, infinitely individualized, and is forever one with us as God, the One, meaning that when God, the One, comes to us forever individualized, that it still remains the whole of God, that it's forever one with that infinitely individualized form is still remaining the whole of God. So this sets up then that first part then of the law, where we see then that God, the One, and then as I say just again, the Absolute Christian Science tone, comes to us, to our individual situation, yet forever remains one with us, forever remains one with us as the one God. So you get there that law of God manifests itself as our God, infinitely individualized, yet still remaining the whole of God. Or we would say then, knowing that we could take that and say, well, then that can be shown as the elaboration a bit more of the law. That just means then that mind is Emmanuel with us, meaning that that mind comes to us. And I'll give us time to write this out. I'll just talk it out, and then we will shut off the recorders, and you'll be able to write it out. So we'll see then that that mind comes to us. It's forever as Emmanuel, that that mind is with us, infinitely individualized. But it just doesn't leave it there, that mind is Emmanuel with us, that mind comes to us infinitely individualized, but it's forever one with us. That mind comes to us infinitely individualized as our mind, but still remaining the whole of mind. Or we'll see that could mean that Spirit is Emmanuel with us, meaning Spirit manifests itself as our spirit, infinitely individualized, but is forever one with us, still remaining the one spirit. Or soul is Emmanuel with us, meaning soul comes to us, or soul manifests itself as our soul, infinitely individualized. You hear that point of absolute Christian science, that principle God comes to us and is infinitely individualized, and yet the divine science tone, yet forever remains one with us as the whole of soul. Or principle is Emmanuel with us. Principle manifests itself as our principle, infinitely individualized, but it's forever one with us. It still remains the whole of principle. Or life is Emmanuel with us. Life manifests itself as our life, infinitely individualized, yet is forever one with us, forever remains the one life, which is God. Or truth is Emmanuel with us. Truth manifests itself as our truth, infinitely individualized, and yet that truth is forever one with us, still remains the whole of truth. There is no love tone in this chapter, and yet it could be implied in this law of oneness that that love is Emmanuel with us, manifests itself infinite as our love, infinitely individualized, yet it forever remains one with us. It forever remains the whole of love. Now, it's quite interesting that in the Oneness Book, Max shows that this aspect of that God comes to us forever infinitely individualized, which is the Christian science standpoint, absolute Christian science standpoint. We know then that the Christ truth and its law of truth, life, and love is that law of specification, that law of individualization. We know now then that that first translation then carries with it that sense then that of Emmanuel, of absolute Christian science, of the fact that that principle God translates itself to the individual situation, infinitely individualizes itself. That's that whole tonality of absolute Christian science, that principle God comes to us and infinitely individualizes itself. And then we see now that the forever one with us, yet still remaining the whole of principle God, that is that overriding point of divine science. And yet he shows in the book that also we can see that this sense that that God manifests itself as our God, infinitely individualized, yet still remaining the whole of God, that this infinite individualization has a dimensional impact also, that you can look at that God manifesting itself as our God, infinitely individualized dimensionally. And therefore, it has a multidimensional phenomenon. Therefore, you could say that God manifests itself as our God, infinitely individualized, and an elaboration of its showing that it has a multidimensional impact. Meaning, if we took just for example, mind, we could say, well, that mind is Emmanuel with us. That mind manifests itself as our mind, infinitely individualized, yet still remaining the whole of mind. Therefore, looking at that standpoint, that mind manifests itself as our mind, as the all mind. That mind manifests itself as our mind, as that all mind, which appears on the science level, which appears on divine science as that all-knowing mind, which appears on absolute Christian science as that mind which reads only ideas, which appears on the Christian Science level as wisdom, as logical reasoning, as true desire. That we can see that that mind that manifests itself as our mind, infinitely individualized, that that is a dimensional happening. That that is happening from the standpoint that that mind manifests it as our mind. That's a dimensional situation, that that all mind appears as the all-knowing mind, as mind-reading, reading only ideas, then as wisdom, logical reading, or true desire. So therefore we can see that that is what we can elaborate and see in much more how this is a dimensional happening. It isn't just something that infinitely individualized, that it's small. But that individualization is happening on every level of consciousness. That that one mind manifests itself as our mind, how? Well, as that all mind, science itself, which also appears as our all-knowing mind, divine science, which also appears as mind reading, the ability to read only ideas, which also has its impact on mind, which is God, which is our mind, as wisdom. Or has its impact on the mind, which is God, as our mind, as logical reasoning. Or has the impact on the mind, which is God, which is our mind, as true desire. Yet always remaining the one mind, which is God. So that we can see here that that infinitely individualized aspect, the way God comes to us, happens dimensionally. So, seeing that this is an advanced class, I have the luxury of knowing you know these things and don't have to teach them. So, we know then on page 71 in the study aid, you can do that exercise in however you would like with mind, because there we know and see how that mind appears in different forms on every level of consciousness, yet still remains the one mind, which is God. We see then how mind appears on the level of science itself, in its own as itself, and then on the divine science, how it appears in its own realm, and on absolute Christian science, how it appears in relationship to its creation, and then how it appears on the level of Christian science. So this can show how that mind, which infinitely individualizes itself as our mind, we can do that exercise on how mind then individualizes itself as our mind, structuring itself dimensionally on the levels. And so we could do with an exercise with spirit and with soul and with principle, life, truth, and love. As we know, working with the synonymous terms as they appear dimensionally on the levels of consciousness. All right? So if we go back to the main theme again, we see then that there is not only the first translation then of being is Emmanuel, God with us, in the as the main point in this chapter, but also then we see the next big point is that this fact that Emmanuel, God with us, translates all that is not God-like back into the God-like. That therefore then is the retranslation that's going on. Now this then is that standpoint of Christian science. So we had the first translation of being is Emmanuel, God with us, how God, the one, comes to us infinitely individualized and yet is forever one with us as the one God. Now we see then that that translation has an impact, and that is then causes us to go through a retranslation. And so therefore, we see the next aspect of this law is that this fact translates all that is not godlike back into the godlike. And here then we have that the standpoint from which the textbook main tones are. Here is where we will find the subject in science, theology, and medicine has its accentuation here. It's all implied, but the subject of the main tones pick up from this standpoint. We'll see as we go on. So we see then that each of the main tones then we'll have in it the fact that being is Emmanuel, God with us, that and that it comes to us infinitely individualized, yet still remaining the whole of God, and that this has an impact, and it is such that God, the one, translates the belief of the ungodlike out of itself back into the godlike. So we can see then that this is an effect of the first translation of an absolute Christian science, where we see then that if God the One comes to us infinitely individualized, yet is forever one with us as God, that has an effect, whereas the God the One translates then the belief of the ungodlike back into the godlike. Or we can see then, to elaborate it, we would show then that if in the first translation, mind is Emmanuel with us, mind manifests itself as our mind infinitely individualized, yet still remaining the whole of mind. Therefore, this has an effect on the Christian Science level. Therefore, that mind translates the belief of what is ungodlike about mind, which is mortal mind, out of itself, back into what is godlike about mind, which is mind. Or we see that in the first translation, if spirit is Emmanuel with us, therefore spirit manifests itself as our spirit, infinitely individualized, yet still remaining the whole of spirit, this has an effect. That spirit translates the belief of the ungodlike about spirit, which is matter, out of itself, back into spirit. So you see, this is the effect of the first translation. Or if we saw as the first translation that soul is Emmanuel with us, therefore soul manifests itself as our soul, infinitely individualized, yet still remaining the whole of soul, that has an effect. That soul translates the belief of what is ungodlike about soul, which is reasoning from the sense testimony, out of itself, back into soul. Second translation. Or in the first translation, if principle is Emmanuel with us, principle comes to us and manifests itself as our principle, infinitely individualized, yet still remaining the whole of principle. That has an effect. And we have then the second translation where that principle translates the belief of what is ungodlike about principle, which are personal theories, personalities, out of itself back into principle. Or if life is Emmanuel with us in the first translation and manifests itself as our life, infinitely individualized, yet still remaining the whole of life. That has an effect, which is then the second translation or the retranslation, where life translates the belief of death out of itself back into life.